Hey guys, my name is Chris.
My name is Dee.
And this is Crime Drunkies. You know how much work it is to keep your ass happy and baby?
Oh, she shook. She has nothing to say. Okay, so today we're drinking vodka soda and vodka tonic because we're in quarantine and we miss drinking these cheap drinks at the bar.
I hate you so much. So, you wouldn't even drink regular fucking sparkling. What is that, water?
Shut up, bitch. When we go to the bar, literally all we drink is either beer or vodka soda. Me and Krishna drinks vodka tonic. Since we're in quarantine, we can't go to the bars and we kind of miss it. That's our drink right now. Vodka soda and vodka tonic.
Soda.
Yeah.
I hate you.
So today we're talking about Catherine Mary Knight.
Knight.
Like
N-I-G-H-T or
K-N-I-G-H-T.
Like a knight?
Yeah, like.
I want to get knighted. Me too. So bad. I want to be a lord.
Haven't we talked about this
and
already?
And then I would be Lord Krishna.
No, you would be Lord Krishna. Solanki.
No, don't put my last name in here.
Yeah, it's going.
I tag Krishna. You
on Instagram.
How perfect would that be, Lord Krishna? That would be so perfect. Don't act like that wouldn't be perfect.
Anyway, so Catherine was born.
See, there you go. I told you. As soon as we start recording, you're gonna be a bitch.
So I was being sweet to you before.
She was being sweet.
And how? How was it being sweet?
What did I do? I don't even remember what the fuck happened. I was
so
like,
it's not memorable.
No, because it's short lived, bitch. It's short-lived. Go.
Okay. So, we're talking about Catherine Knight. Bitch, I hate when you called over me talking. Okay, so.
Go.
Okay. So, Catherine Knight. So, Catherine was born on October 24th, 1955. Mm. That makes her Scorpio. What do you know about Scorpios?
Well, we talked about this. Scorpios are my true match.
Oh, yeah, we have talked about this.
Fuck Scorpios.
I don't know shit about Scorpios except, I guess, fuck them.
They're intense as hell. They're very intense.
I do. I know one Scorpio.
Are they intense?
We didn't date or nothing. She's one of my ex-coworkers.
Was she intense?
Yeah, but, like, I loved her. Like, she was cool as fuck. Before we get into Catherine, we're going to talk about her parents a little bit. Her mom was married to Jack Ruffin, but while they were together, her mom's name is Barbara. Her mom had an affair with a dude named Ken.
Ken?
Ken Knight.
Ken Knight?
Ken Knight.
Okay.
Yeah. But before that, Barbara had 4 sons with Jack already.
Holy shit.
Before her affair. So she was married to Jack, then had 4 kids, then met Ken and had an affair. So they lived in a small town. They lived in Australia. Huh? No, thank you. They lived in Australia. So they lived in a small town. It was called Aberdeen in New South Wales. I don't know.
Oh my God. Hold up. I could never live in a motherfucking Australia with a giant ass motherfucking tarantulas and shit.
Oh, I forget you hate snakes.
Have you seen them? I love snakes.
I meant spiders. I'm drunk.
Have you seen?
Yes.
How motherfucking big they are? And they lived in a small ass town. You know they was all over their house.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know shit about
Australia. I know for a fact.
Oh.
That there was
okay.
Tarantulas in their house.
So they lived in a small town called Aberdeen in New South Wales, Hawther Valley. I can't read my handwriting.
Heather.
Heather, are you reading that? What does that say? Anyway, they lived in a small town. I don't know what the population was, but because they lived in a small town, everyone knew about the affair that Barbara had with Ken, and it just caused a big scandal. So because of the scandal, because of that, they moved. They moved out of town. Mm-hmm. So they moved into a town called, I don't know how to pronounce this, but...
Where?
Moree, M-O-R-E-E. So you know how Barbara had four boys? Mm-hmm. They didn't take any of the boys with them. The two older boys went to live with their father, Jack, while the two younger boys went to live with their aunt in Sydney, Australia. So Barbara didn't take any of the boys, but Barbara and Ken eventually had four children of their own, including two girls that were born in 1955 in Tenterfield, Australia. Mm. One of the twin girls was actually Catherine Knight.
Okay.
Which is the woman that we're talking about.
Right.
She was the younger of the twin daughters. Mm-hmm. So in 1959, when Catherine was 4 years old, Jack, you remember Jack, the ex, Barbara's ex, died. So the two boys who lived with him actually ended up moving in with their mom, Barbara, and Ken.
Okay.
And Catherine and their four children. So let's talk about Ken for a little bit. So Ken was basically, he was an alcoholic.
Okay.
Who would rape Barbara.
Oh my gosh,
and he was like violent and stuff. He would constantly rape her, and I guess Barbara had like no outlet, so she would talk to her daughters about her sex life. And how much she basically hated sex with men. But later, Catherine would tell Barbara that one of her sexual partners, so I guess she had like several sexual partners, so she told her that one of her sexual partners wanted to have sex with her, and Barbara basically told her, like, put up with it, bitch, like, stop complaining and just suck it up, you know? Yeah, so Catherine says she was frequently sexually assaulted by several people. Which continued to happen till she was about 11 years old. Let's skip to her high school years. So in high school, it is said that she actually became kind of like a loner. And not only was she a loner, but she was a bully.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's what's said, supposedly. She once assaulted a boy with a weapon. And she also one time became injured by a teacher who supposedly was acting in self-defense.
What?
So she probably, like...
came at them some type of way.
Yeah.
And then she couldn't handle it when they came back at her that type of way.
Yeah. However, she got awards at that school for being a model student with good behavior.
No motherfucking way.
So I don't know which account is, like... correct, you know?
Right.
But she actually dropped out of school at 15 years old, and she didn't really learn how to read or write, like, which is weird because I feel like you learn to read or write in your earlier years.
Yeah. Like elementary.
Once you like get to high school, like,
what, wait, hold on. What, when was, when
she dropped out at 15. So yeah, that's like your sophomore year.
What, when is this? When
oh yeah, you're right. This is like,
I'm sorry.
Well, if she was born in, in 55.
She shouldn't know how to read. They had normalized high school back then.
Yeah.
Speculating.
So she didn't learn how to read or write, but after dropping out of high school, she got a job at a clothing company.
Okay.
She worked there for a whole year, and then she got a job. Then she, like, didn't want to do that anymore, so she got a job at, she got a job cutting meat at a slaughterhouse.
You already know where it's gonna go when they know how to slaughter.
Okay, hold on.
They know
that's
how
not
to
even
do.
That's not even the best part. The best part about this, well, probably the worst part. Should I say the interesting part? I don't even know.
Go
anymore.
In order. Go in order. Go in order.
No, this is. I'm talking about the same event. I just don't know how to describe it.
You gotta say it.
So the fucked up part about it. There we go. Is that. She described this job as her dream job.
Slaughtering. Oh my god.
No, wait, she wasn't slaughtering the animals. She was just cutting the meat after they were slaughtered.
Okay, well, that's gross.
Yeah. Well, that was her, well, that was her dream job.
That's all I can say. That's gross.
Well, she quickly got promoted to, I guess, a position called boning.
What's that?
I don't know. But I'm guessing where, I don't know. What would you think boning? Boning.
Hold on. B-O-N-I-N-G. Hold on, I'm about to look this shit up.
Not booning.
Boning. What is it? Where does she work at? A butcher shop?
A slaughterhouse.
Slaughterhouse? Slaughter and boning process procedure. Oh, this is a lot. Oh, no, it's nothing. And boning process is to efficiently convert live animals into carcasses. Okay. It's the process is to efficiently convert live animals into carcasses and subsequently into food product.
So she was the one at this point.
She right? was murdering those motherfucking animals.
Slaughtering.
Murdering.
Right. So now that we know what boning is, not a sexual term. She, when she got promoted, she actually got her own set of butcher knives, mm-hmm. which is cool, right? You get promoted, you get
for a butcher, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you get promoted, you get new tools, whatever. However, she hung up her butcher knives over her bed.
So, what a psycho ass bitch. Not in her kitchen, in her bedroom.
No, yeah, she hung them up over her bed so that they would, quote, always be handy, end quote.
Handy? What, is the cow just gonna walk into her motherfucking bedroom?
You never know, bitch.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
It's not gonna happen.
I mean, they got wild animals in Australia all over.
Oh, a tarantula. You're right.
She has to butcher a tarantula.
You know what? If I lived in Australia, I would have done the same thing. I would have all them knives and shit. I would have guns and motherfucking explosives and shit.
I would just rain. That's it.
No! They're fucking, like, bigger than your motherfucking head. Like, they're huge.
No, they're not. Lay down.
Lay down.
Lay back. Lay back. All right. You ready?
Relax.
Relax. So anyway, you give me anxiety. I can't breathe.
Wait, hold on.
Wait, also I'm laying down a little bit and my tummy.
Take a drink.
Yeah. My tummy's a little chubby, so.
No. Oh my god, you're so teeny tiny.
Explain to me why I can't breathe then while I'm laying down.
Stop. I'm sorry.
So she met this guy named David Kellett. She met him through her job at the slaughterhouse. Mm-hmm. So they were coworkers, and David was actually an alcoholic due to some traumatic incidents he had witnessed before he got this job here. Mm-hmm. So before he got this job here, he actually worked for the railroads. And he watched his best friend get killed in front of him.
He got ran over.
It didn't really say. It just said that, like, he witnessed his friend get killed in front of him. And not only that, he also witnessed a school bus get hit by a train where several children died. And he helped several children get out.
Where is that at? That's just haunted.
In Australia.
We gotta go. Mm-hmm.
So shut up. So his drinking got bad and he kept fucking up at work. So apparently after that he caused several derailments, mm-hmm. due to like falling asleep at mm-hmm. work. So because of this, of him like falling asleep and like causing derailments and stuff, he got transferred somewhere else. Mm-hmm. He eventually lost his job because he couldn't get his shit together, like
inevitable.
Yeah, so that's when he started working at the slaughterhouse where Catherine was working.
Oh my god!
And so he actually met her through one of her brothers. One of her brothers actually worked there too. David and him became good friends, and then he met Catherine. So supposedly, you know, once they met, they started dating and stuff. So if supposedly if David got in a fight, mm-hmm. Catherine was always there to back him up. Like, she would fight motherfuckers too. Like,
hell yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was known to get physical with basically anyone who pissed her off.
Okay.
So in 1974, they finally got married.
Oh, her and David?
Mm-hmm.
What?
So
this is wild.
Hold on. They arrived to their wedding on her motorcycle.
That's such a lesbian move.
Okay, right? And she was the one driving it.
I was picturing him in like a little cart next to the fucking...
No, but close enough. But he arrived drunk as fuck.
Hell yeah.
Riding in the back. So at the wedding, Barbara, you remember Barbara?
Mm-hmm.
The Barbs. Mom?
Yes, I yeah. remember
Barbs. So Catherine's mom, Barbara, gave some advice to David. She told him, quote, "You better watch this one or she'll fucking kill you. Stir her up the wrong way or do the wrong thing and you're fucked. Don't ever think of playing up on her. She'll fucking kill you."
Holy
end quote.
Shit.
So anyway, they got married, and the night of the wedding, Catherine actually tried to strangle David.
Mm.
She later said that it was because he fell asleep after only having sex 3 times. I feel that, baby girl. I feel that.
Man, we trying to fuck all night long. And I mean, into I'm not gonna tomorrow, the
I'm,
next day.
I'm not gonna strangle you, but like, bitch, stay the fuck
wake up. Wake up. Hey, wake up, wake up.
Yes.
Fuck me again.
One night, David went to a darts competition because I guess he was like in a team and they had made it to the finals. So he went to...
What is it? Darts?
Darts, yeah.
Ooh.
So they made it to the finals and he went out to, you know, for the competition and stuff, but he got home late. Mm. So Catherine was pissed. Why should I go with him is beyond me, but...
She ain't supportive.
Yeah. So
she just wants to get fucked.
Because he got home late... While he wasn't home, Catherine burned all of his clothes and shoes. And when he got there, she hit him over the head with a frying pan. Hold on, get this.
That's like a movie.
Get this. This all happened all while she was pregnant.
Oh my God.
He hit him in the head with a frying pan, right? So David was like, fuck this. He ran out. And because he was scared. Like, he was like, holy shit, this bitch is going to kill me. So he ran out of there. But he didn't get very far. He actually collapsed in a neighbor's yard.
No.
Yeah, so he, you know, he was treated for a fractured skull.
This is literally like a scary movie.
Yeah, so police actually wanted to charge Catherine, but she sweet-talked David and got him to drop the charges. So she didn't get charged for anything.
Poor guy.
That would have been like attempted murder with a weapon, you know? But nope. Or whatever the fuck they do in Australia. But in May of 1976, after giving birth to their first daughter, David actually left Catherine for another woman. And he moved away from the city where they lived.
Good for him.
Yeah, so the next day, Catherine was seen pushing her baby on a stroller down a main street. But people say she was being kind of aggressive with the stroller. Like, she was like... Like, rocking it back and forth too hard and, like, shit like that. I don't know.
Oh, my God, that's shaking baby syndrome.
Well, that's not what happened, but she was then admitted.
That's not what happened.
No, thank God, but because she was being aggressive with it, but that's not what happened, thank God. But she was then admitted into St. Elmo's Hospital.
Elmo?
Elmo's. Like, Elmo.
Like, Elmo?
Elmo.
Like, Elmo's World?
Yeah, St. Elmo's Hospital.
Elmo's a saint?
In Australia. Well, there, once she got admitted, she was diagnosed with postnatal depression, which is like a really real thing, you know?
Yeah.
But after getting out of the hospital, I guess she was with her 2-month old again, or her baby again. At this point, her baby was 2 months old, and she put her on a railroad where a train was scheduled to pass through.
No fucking way.
And she's 2 months old, so it's not like she can even crawl away. Like,
no, yeah.
She's like, just going to lay there, you know?
She doesn't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, so...
Oh, no.
She then... Yeah, so then she then, like, stole an axe
mm-hmm.
and went into town and threatened to kill several people.
poor baby.
So, thankfully, a man known as Old Ted in the town found the baby, and he picked her up, rescued her minutes before the train was going to pass through.
Oh, fuck. Oh, my God. Blessed.
So, because of all of this, Catherine was then apprehended, and she was arrested, and she was admitted to the same hospital again. Mm-hmm. But she signed herself out the very next day. A few days later, Catherine set out to find David. Mm-hmm. So, in the process, she found a woman, got her to like take her to this other town where mm-hmm. David had moved to, and she slashed her face and she demanded her to take her to the city where he had moved to, mm-hmm. but. When they stopped at a service station, which I guess this is like a mechanic shop or something, mm-hmm. the woman ended up escaping, and the police was called and all of that. But before the police arrived, Catherine took a boy hostage and threatened to hurt him with a knife.
Oh my God!
Yeah, she was quickly disarmed when police attacked her with brooms. Fucking brooms. What?
What? Wait. Brooms?
I don't know. That's my research. Attacked her with brooms. I don't
know. This is the 70s.
Yeah.
The fuck?
So she was disarmed. Disarmed. With brooms. Brooms. she was then admitted to an actual psychiatric hospital. Mm. So I'm guessing the other times that she was admitted, it wasn't a psychiatric hospital. But now she was. So she told doctors and workers there that her intentions were to kill the mechanic at the service station.
Oh, shit.
At the like car shop or whatever mm-hmm. that they were at, because he fixed David's car, which allowed him to leave her. Mm-mm. It allowed David to go to another town.
But this is wild.
Yeah. Then after that, she intended to kill David and his mother, her mother-in-law. So police then informed David of what had happened and what she had said. So what would you do if like someone informed you that somebody was out to kill you and your mother?
Oh my God, I would kill her first.
Okay, so you want to know what David did?
He tried to kill her?
No.
Oh.
David then left his girlfriend after finding this out and moved back to the town where they were originally at. To support Catherine. To be there for her.
I mean, what a, like, good intentions. Like, so happy for him. But, like, kill the bitch. I would have fucking murdered her ass. Like, you gonna try to come for me and my mom?
He's better than us.
He's way better than us.
And he was told that she was coming for him and his mom.
Dude's wild. He don't love his mom.
Well, he went back.
Just kidding.
He went back to support her, right? So, Catherine was eventually released from the psychiatric hospital in August, which was 3 months later. Mm-hmm. Get this. She was released into the care of her mother-in-law, which was David's mother. The
no fucking
girl that
way.
She had intended to kill after
what
she killed the mechanic.
What is wrong with these people?
Well, 4 years later... They had, so all this time, like, they lived happily ever after, apparently, whatever, I don't know. But 4 years later, they had another daughter, and then 4 years after that, Catherine left David and moved in with her parents.
All right.
Then after that, she rented a house.
Okay.
So she returned to work at the slaughterhouse. Mm-hmm. But she injured her back after only working there for a year. She was able to get put on disability. Mm. So the government actually gave her housing because she was like a mother and she wasn't working. So the government gave her housing and stuff, you know. 2 years later, in 1986, Catherine met a man named David Sanders. They quickly moved in together, although he kept his own apartment still.
And like, wait, hold on. How they moving together? Is she married the other David?
I know, right? It's another David.
But how they gonna move in together? Did they she separated? Was she cheating on him?
Did you miss that whole part?
Yeah. What happened?
You missed, you drunk bitch. You missed that whole part.
Wait, just tell me real quick.
Okay, so remember when I said 4 years after she got out of the hospital, they had another daughter, and then 4 years after that, Catherine left David and moved in to.
Oh, okay.
You remember that?
You just said that.
I just said that. Like, you're drunk.
I am. That's the whole motherfucking point.
Okay, so.
Crime drunkies, bitch.
Yes. They didn't really have a good relationship. Like, Catherine would often kick him out, and he would go back to his apartment because, you know, he kept his own apartment.
Right.
Smart man.
Suspicious.
It's like he already knew that she. Never mind.
She's trouble.
Yeah. And when he would move out, Catherine would beg him to come back. Mm. And he always would. So a year later, they actually got a puppy, and she slit his throat.
The puppy.
Yeah, the puppy was 2 months old.
No.
And she slit his throat.
Why?
So I'm gonna tell you why.
Tell me.
So basically, she just wanted to show him what would happen to him if he ever cheated on her.
She used that puppy as a threat.
Yep.
Oh my god.
And then, hold on, after she had the conversation with him, she knocked his ass unconscious with a frying pan.
She's got a thing for hitting people over the head with a frying pan.
Yeah. So, a year later, it's 1988, she gave birth to a daughter with him.
Damn.
Which made David put a deposit down on the house. I guess he was like, oh, shit, like, we're having a kid together. Like, this is a forever thing. We're getting a house.
He tried to step up.
That's yeah. So, they got a house, and Catherine actually decorated the whole house with, like, animal skins and animal skulls and horns and animal traps and leather jackets and old boots and machetes and rakes and pitchforks. So basically, like, no space in the house was left uncovered, like, including the ceiling.
Very rustic.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Okay, so one day after an argument with David Sanders, Catherine hit David in the face with an iron.
There she goes again.
Yeah, and not only that, she stabbed him in the stomach with scissors.
Scissors.
Yeah. So after that, he was like, fuck this. He moved back to his apartment. Of like, course. He still had his apartment and shit. And later, he, like, kind of regretted it, I guess. He was like, no, fuck this. Like, I'm going to go back. So he went back, and he returned to find all his clothes, like, cut up. So he left again.
Oh, my God.
So, after he left, Catherine tried to find him, but David went into hiding, and no one that, like, knew him or anything like that admitted to knowing where he was. Later, I guess David, like, missed his daughters and stuff, so he returned because he wanted to see his kids, but he found out that Catherine had gone to the police and told them that she was afraid of him. Yeah, so this was, like, something to, like, I guess, cover her tracks.
Wait, hold up. I don't understand, like, how she's getting away with fucking hitting him, you know, like, knocking him unconscious with a motherfucking frying pan, stabbing him with scissors. Like, didn't he go to the fucking doctor to, like, get that shit checked
okay,
out?
Okay, so here's the thing. This is, like, the 70s, 80s, somewhere around there, right? Mm. Women being abusive to men isn't a thing.
I understand.
Like, it's obviously a thing. It obviously has always happened, whatever. Yeah. But, like, it hasn't been believed to be a thing. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. No, it's really shitty. It's really shitty because...
That's what I'm, like... I wasn't understanding because I was, like, he literally got stabbed with scissors. Like, you think he would go to the doctor? Yeah.
So... she was able to issue what is called in Australia an apprehended violence order, which I think it's kind of like a restraining order. I'm not sure. But two years later in 1990, so I guess that was settled, whatever. But 2 years later in 1990, Catherine met another man named John Chillingworth. She became pregnant and had a baby boy named Eric.
Damn, she's just giving birth left and right.
Yeah, holy just shit. Like her parents. But they were together 3 years, and then she left him for a man she was having an affair with. His name was John Price. So remember how, like, her first dude was named David?
David, John, something. John.
Mm-hmm. And then the other dude, her next dude was David Sanders. And then the next dude, so they were both named David. And then the next dude was David,
what
was
or his John. Name?
Or, sorry, John. John
Chillingworth.
No, yeah. Yeah, John Chillingworth.
And John Chillingworth.
And now this is John Price. So she dated David, and then John.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. 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 Okay, tell me your theories. What are your speculations?
I have a lot, but I don't think it has anything to do with anything. I think it has everything to do with just me being drunk and speculating shit. Just like my regular life, you know? I get drunk and I speculate
things
in my life.
We literally do that a lot, and that puts us in, like, the wrong mental state of mind. But, like, I live for all of that. Ain't shit happened to me. Everybody's been good to me, but I fucking hate all of this.
All of this because Catherine dated a David, and John.
Fuck that, bitch. Fuck that my life. Oh, my God. I love all my friends.
You.
I don't have any
friends. I love all my friends too. You. I try to think of more. I try to think of more friends.
Oh, damn. We're cute.
Anyway. So she met this dude named John Price, the dude that she was having an affair with while she was dating John. What was his name? John Chillingworth. So she was only with him for a couple of years. So let's learn a little bit about John.
He's relevant.
He's relevant. So John Price, he was born April 4th, 1955. So they were around the same age because she was born in 55 as well. So he's an Aries.
Apparently Aries is
Her last episode, we talked about somebody that was an Aries, and we didn't know shit about Aries, but we looked into it, and basically all we found was that Aries are assholes. Also, also, we didn't really look into it. We just saw a meme about Aries that said that they were an asshole, so we're sticking to it.
We believe it. We believe what the internet tells us.
I mean, if it's on the internet, it's true. So, anyway, this Aries, John, he was described as a, remember, we're in Australia, right? So, this is, quote.
A dingo. Am I right? He's a dingo? Am I right? Am I right? They call him a dingo? Did they call him a dingo?
No.
What did they call him? a fucking koala? What? A kangaroo?
Stop, you're not funny anymore.
I know I'm not funny. I wasn't trying to be funny when I said dingo either. I'm asking for real.
Okay. So. Okay. So John was described as a quote
dingo.
No. Stop.
Tell me.
He was described as a terrific bloke.
I hate that. I would have rather them call him a dingo. But dingos are so cute.
Okay, but, like, bloke is, like, dude. Like, a terrific dude. Terrific man, whatever.
A fucking bloke. Like.
That's what I quoted, okay?
A bloody bloke. Like, I don't know.
Anyway.
What is this in Australia? Stop coughing.
So, anyway, basically, everyone that met him, like, loved him. He had, stop!
I literally can't right now. I learned something to describe him as a dingo. What?
did. I haven't laughed that hard in this podcast yet.
I can't believe I said that.
Okay, so are we ready? Okay. Okay, so so we're talking about John Price, right? So he was a terrific bloke. Everyone loved him. So before he met Catherine, he also had a marriage that had ended. He had children with her as well. So his youngest daughter stayed with his ex-wife, but the two oldest children went to live with him. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then Catherine, after they met, Catherine actually moved in with him. That was in 1995.
95? We're born, bitch.
Yeah.
We are alive and thriving.
Apparently, he knew of, like, her violent past when she moved into the house.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever, fuck all that, because his children fucking loved her. You know,
mm-hmm.
But so he was a miner,
mm-hmm.
So he was making a lot of money in the mines and shit. But aside from like regular arguments, like every couple always has,
mm-hmm.
Life was great for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a great life, you know, people loved him, his children loved her, like everything was great. But 3 years later, now it's 1998, they got into it because John didn't want to marry her. So I guess she was like, hey, like, we've been together for a few years, like, we should get married. And John was like, you know what? Nah.
Good for John.
Yeah, so she was mad. She was pissed. So she actually took pictures and recorded stuff that he had actually stolen from work from the mining company,
mm-hmm.
and sent them to his boss.
Oh my God, the TMZ.
So because of that, John ended up getting fired, which is stupid on her part because he's the one taking care of the whole family. He's making good money, you know? So like, why the fuck would she do that?
Mm.
She's a dumb bitch.
She's a dumb bitch.
She is. So, anyway, after that, John was like, fuck you, bitch. I'm going to kick you out. So, he kicked her out.
Mm-hmm.
And a few months later, John was actually the one that sought her out, and they got back together. But even though John was a dumbass for seeking her out and getting back together, he was smart in the fact that he didn't let her move back in.
Mm-hmm.
So the fighting actually got bad, and they no longer like had any friends that would want to hang out with them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because like they were fighting all the time, and they would fight in front of friends and shit like that. So like, it was uncomfortable, you know? So, like, nobody wanted to hang out with them.
Mm-hmm.
But in February of 2000.
Damn, we're in the 2000s now.
Yeah, we were just in 1998.
Oh, my God.
In February of 2000, Catherine stabbed him in the chest.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so John finally went to the police and got a restraining order against her to keep her away from him and his children.
Mm-mm.
So after he got the restraining order and shit, John told his coworkers if he ever didn't show up to work, it meant that Catherine murdered him.
Oh, fuck.
So, you know, like, I've read and heard stories, like, on the internet and stuff like that, where, like, people do this stuff, where they're like, hey, if something ever happens to me, just know that this person or that person did something to me.
Damn.
Right? But I've never, like,
that's what I tell everybody about you.
Fuck you, bitch.
I'm like, if anything ever happens to me, that's Damaris.
Fuck you, man. I'm so upset. I would never hurt you.
But you were murdering me quick.
I mean, I threw my Apple Watch at you one time.
You did, at my motherfucking head.
Sorry.
You lucky
I didn't mean to laugh.
It's funny now, but like I dodged it.
Yeah, and it broke my Apple Watch.
Cracked it.
Because it hit the wall. It shattered the screen.
It fucking broke.
Where were we? Damn it.
Fucking.
He specifically says, if I don't show up to work tomorrow, just know that Catherine murdered me.
That's wild.
He literally said that.
That's fucking wild.
So his coworkers, you know, they were worried and stuff, and they told him, like, dude, like, don't go home, don't go home, don't go home. Mm-hmm. But he said he had to because he has children, you know, like, he has to go home to his children.
Yeah.
So when he got home, she wasn't there, but neither were his children. So come to find out, she had actually sent them for a sleepover at a friend's house.
Mm.
So John was like, all right, cool. Like, I don't want to be home right now. I'm going through a lot. So he went to a neighbor's house for a while. And I don't know. It doesn't really specify. But, like, I'm guessing, you know, he had a beer. Like, maybe just chill for a little bit. Watched a movie. I don't know. I don't know what they did. But he went to a neighbor's house. And he got home. He went back home at around 11 p.m. And mm-hmm. as soon as he got home, like, he went to sleep.
Right.
So that was, like, around 11. So then Catherine actually ended up going to the house.
Hmm.
So once she got to the house, she watched TV for a little. She showered and then woke him up.
Mm-mm.
Once she woke him up, they had sex.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. And after they had sex, you know, he fell asleep. The next, okay, so he fell asleep, you know, that's the end of the night.
Right.
After sex, you go to sleep.
Exactly, right.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It was the perfect ending to his night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not.
Oh, my God.
Because he got murdered that night.
Oh, my God.
So it wasn't a perfect ending to his night. So basically, the next morning, his neighbor got up to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 6 in the morning. And when he went out to his car to leave for work, he realized that John's car was in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, whoa, wait a second. Like, literally every morning when I go to work, John's already gone.
Yeah.
So, like, is he sick? Like, is he okay? We know about Catherine. Like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, he doesn't go to work. He's like searching the, like, the outside of the house, not really knowing what's going on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when he didn't show up for work, like I said, everyone knew about this because John had told his coworkers, his neighbors about what was going on. Or not really what was going on, but just like, dude, if I don't like show up, just know something's wrong.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because like, I feel like if I went out to my house every day in the morning and didn't see my neighbor's car there, and then one day I do see his car there, I'm just going to assume, like, they're on a vacation or, right. like, they took the day off. Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
But the fact that he was, like, concerned,
mm-hmm.
John obviously had told everyone about yeah. what was going on, you know?
That's true. You spilled the vodka soda.
Oh, yeah, that one. So, so when he didn't show up to work, John's boss actually sent one of his coworkers to check up on him.
Mm-hmm.
So once he got there, you know, he found the neighbor that was checking on him.
Mm-hmm.
The neighbor and the coworker are knocking on the door, and you know, there's no response. So they go to the window. They start knocking and knocking and knocking to wake him up, but nothing. So they call the police, and after noticing blood by the front door.
Mm-hmm.
So they already felt like something was wrong, but now they're like, oh shit, there's blood by the front door. Like, there's definitely something wrong.
Yeah. Right?
So they call the police. So police get there around 8 a.m., which is 2 hours after the neighbor realized that the car was still there, right?
Right.
So once police got there, they broke down the back door. So once the police broke into the house, there was this, like, curtain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, thing hanging that, like, was covering the rest of, like, the house when they walked in, right?
Right.
So, naturally, the police want to get in, so the police officer pushes through the curtain.
Uh-huh.
Well, when he pushes through the curtain, he feels something, like, wet and, like...
Ew.
Like cold and wet or whatever, and he's like, what the fuck? So he looks at his arm that he pushed the curtain through with, and it's gross.
What is it?
So the curtain that he pushed through was actually John's skin. Yeah, his skin was hung like a curtain. Yeah. In the house, yeah. So he just pushed through that.
His skin. They literally pushed it like it was a motherfucking curtain.
Well, yeah, because it was dark. They didn't know any better.
That's fine. But like, does it feel different? I don't know.
Well, that's why once he pushed it, he realized it was like, this is weird.
No, but he felt the wetness. But if it wasn't wet and his skin was dry, they would just thought it was a regular ass curtain.
I'm sure not. Because it's heavy.
But just imagine, like, if it wasn't blood on him. He would have never known.
Yes, he would have, because it would have been heavy.
Is it heavy? Do we know? I don't know.
I've never skinned anyone.
So then how do you know?
I don't
know.
Maybe
we light.
You really think that our skin is going to be light like a fucking curtain?
Maybe. If she knows what the fuck she's doing. She's a fucking slaughterer.
I don't think so. They found John's body. Catherine was also there.
Mm-hmm.
But she was unconscious.
What?
She wasn't dead, but she was unconscious. She had actually taken, like, a shit ton of pills. It doesn't specify, like, what kind of pills or what she took.
Mm-hmm.
But she took, like, a bunch of pills.
Right.
So, anyway, the end of it is she actually stabbed John with a butcher's knife while he was sleeping.
No fucking way.
So, according to, like, the blood trails and stuff that was going on,
mm-hmm.
he woke up when she stabbed him, mm-hmm. and he tried to escape through the front door, but when he went through the front door, which is the blood that the neighbor and the coworker saw,
yeah,
he either went back in for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, fell unconscious and he got dragged back in.
Shit. Fuck! I fucking hate her.
He ended up back in the house, mm-hmm. where he died. He died after bleeding out, you know?
Oh, no.
So, records show that Catherine went into town later and withdrew $1,000 from his account at an ATM. Mm-hmm. The autopsy later says that he had been stabbed at least 37 times.
37 times?
37 times.
Holy shit. Front
and back.
Oh my God. So she was like flipping him over and stabbing him again.
Well, do we know if she was flipping him over? No, maybe he was trying to run away and she stabbed him in the back. And once he couldn't go anymore, like, she dragged him back in the house and then stabbed him in the front. There's so many possibilities,
you
know?
You're right.
So maybe she wasn't flipping him over.
You're so right.
There's just so much stuff that could have happened, you know?
Fuck.
So anyway, several hours after his death, it is speculated that several hours after his death, Catherine skinned him.
Oh my God.
And hung his skin on a meat hook.
Oh my God.
So this is all, like, she's good at this. Like, yeah. She's worked
she's a butcher.
At a slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
She was promoted to boning, like, all of that. You know?
She knows how to separate the skin from the muscle. She knows what she's doing. Or whatever.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing. So.
Oh my God.
So she skinned him and hung his skin on a meat hook. And then after that, she cooked parts of his body. And she also decapitated him.
Oh, my God.
So, Catherine, she served the meat with baked potatoes and veggies. Just like you would do, like, any plate. But this is, like, human meat.
Yeah.
So, she made a plate out of it. And she served two plates with it. With, like, veg, like I said, potatoes, veggies, and gravy.
Mm-hmm.
And, She set the table and she put them on the table and
for who?
Hold on, we're getting there, bitch.
Oh my God, I can't.
Okay, so after she served all the dishes, she put notes next to the plates,
mm-hmm.
and the notes had the names of John's children. Remember, he had kids that were living with him.
Yeah, she was feeding his kids him.
Well, she wanted to.
Okay, okay.
She didn't, but she served it for...
With she put it out. She
with
it
the out intent there. For them yeah. to eat it, but obviously, yeah, okay. So, there was a whole nother, like, plate that was served, a whole nother meal that was served,
mm-hmm.
but it was thrown in the backyard. So, it is speculated that Catherine actually wanted to eat a plate of it. Like, she served herself a plate of it, right? Mm-hmm. But she couldn't, so she threw it out in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if this is accurate or not. This is all speculated.
No, she ate it.
Well, she tried.
Hmm.
So, according to her, she had no recollection of the crime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing. She didn't know what had happened.
Sure.
Like, nothing, right?
Sure, she doesn't.
John's decapitated head was found in a pot of veggies where she was cooking veggies.
Mm-hmm.
Like his head.
Mm-hmm.
So when they found it in the morning, the pot was still hot. So they figured that the cooking had been done in the morning.
Yeah.
Catherine also left a note with that. So Catherine left a note on the back of a photograph of John.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like blood stained and like there was like just shit on it. So she had probably already killed him mm-hmm. when she wrote this note on the back of this photograph. And it said, "Time got you back, Jonathan, for raping my daughter.
Oh my God.
Now play with little John's dick, John Price."
What?
That was the note that she left. Holy on the back shit. Of a picture of him when she killed him. So it is, you know, in the case files, in the speculation, in the stories, like all of the above, whatever, it was never said that like John raped one of her daughters.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But like that's what she's saying.
Yeah.
So maybe fuck? She knew something, like, I don't know.
Oh my God.
I don't know. But maybe she wasn't, even if it was a thing, maybe she wasn't believed because she was prone to violence
mm-hmm.
and speculation
yeah.
and stuff like that. So like anything that she said wasn't taken seriously, you know? I'm saying that from what I'm thinking. I'm not right. saying that that's what's made that that's what like what happened. I'm saying maybe that's what happened. I don't know.
Fuck.
Okay, so
that's fucking wild.
Yeah. So. Okay, so Catherine actually got arrested and stuff.
Right.
And there was an offer on the table
mm-hmm.
for manslaughter.
Right.
They were like, plea to manslaughter, whatever, whatever. And, you know, it's not as bad as murder and cannibalism and all the bullshit that she went through
yeah.
or that she did, whatever. And she rejected it. She was like, no. So, you know, they went to trial and stuff in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So, in 2001... There was her trial, and they got a group of 60 people for the jury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the jury got smaller, and then after that, Catherine actually changed her plea to guilty.
Oh, shit.
So there was no reason for a jury.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So after that, the jury was dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
She had a psychiatric assessment done. So all of that happened. It went through. Catherine had, or Catherine's lawyers were like, all right, so now we have to try to defend Catherine
mm-hmm.
by claiming that she has amnesia and dissociation.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Okay.
Okay.
So, like I told you that she went through, like, psychiatric already.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And they actually didn't consider her sane. So, like, this would all stand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The psychiatric doctors that she actually talked to
mm-hmm.
said that she actually suffered from borderline personality disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, her doctors and stuff said that she wasn't sane
mm-hmm.
and that she did have, like, psychiatric issues or, like, mental health issues, they accepted the plea. Or not the plea. They accepted that she had said that she was guilty.
Right.
So even though that the court accepted that she was guilty, Catherine never said that she was actually responsible for any of the things that she was accused of.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So at the sentencing, because of her, like, mental health issues, her lawyers actually requested that she be excused to avoid hearing some of the things that she had done.
Mm-hmm.
Because in her head and in the lawyer's head and, like, in the mental health, like, perspective, she doesn't know what she has done.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
At least what they're going off of. I don't know if this is true or not.
Mm-hmm.
They requested that she was not in the courtroom when they were given some of the details out of what she had done. But the judge was like, nah, bitch, like, you did this shit. You should be able to hear about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
During some of the time that some of the, like, people were giving their testimony and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
this bitch, like, just became hysterical to the point that she had to get sedated.
No fucking way.
Yeah, like, she acted up in court, oh, like, yeah, all of that. So later, Justice O'Keefe, which was the judge in the courtroom,
mm-hmm.
Pointed out that Catherine had basically shown no remorse,
mm-hmm.
and she needed to be, like, severely punished.
Yeah.
So because of that, he sentenced her to life in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, she had life in prison without parole.
No parole.
No parole.
Damn.
So she has actually been the first woman in history, the first woman in Australian history
mm-hmm.
to be given that.
Wow.
That punishment. So in June of 2006, Catherine actually appealed her life sentence.
Mm-hmm.
But the judges on the case dismissed the appeal. They were like, no, fuck this bitch. Like, you did it. Do your time. She's serving her life sentence, thinking about what she did. So we don't know if she was accountable. We don't know if she tried to eat it. We don't know if she ate some of it.
No,
but she definitely tried. Well, she definitely cooked his meat and tried mm-hmm. to feed, or wanted to feed his children it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
damn. That is crazy to me.
Which part?
All of it. And her, like, maybe possibly being a cannibal.
Yeah.
Ooh, cannibalism freaks me out.
I don't know. I don't think she was a cannibal.
You don't think so?
No, because or maybe she was, like, gonna start on it. Maybe she was curious about it. Mm-hmm. But then she tried it, and, like the report said, like, they speculate that she tried and, like, threw it. Mm-hmm. You know? I don't know. I don't know her.
True. But, damn. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like that's so, like... And she's in jail right now.
She's in jail right now?
That's wild to me.
Krishna's, like, fucked up and falling asleep.
Your girl is fucked up. Yeah, I'm so drunk right now.
You just remind me of the Cheetah's girls in India.
Bitch, how?
Because you're Indian.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Crime Drunkies.
Please like.
Thanks, please comment
and rate our podcast. That would actually help us out a lot. Please.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.